Today's Shir Masechta Kedushin Daf Samach Tes. We will begin on Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah Tarfon teaches us Yecholim Mamzer Litar. There is a way that a Mamzer could solve his issue of being a Mamzer. How is that? Ketz a Mamzer Shenasa Shifcha. If a Mamzer marries a Shifcha Kananis, Havlad, the child, which we've been learning in our Shurim. Yichus follows the mother, so this child is a mamzer. This child is a mamzer. Now shichroi, and when the owner of this mamzer frees this child, nimtza ben a shivcha knanis, a child of a shivcha who is considered a eved, is now a eved knani or shivcha knanis. When they're freed, they're considered like a regular Jew. Nimtza, it turns out they're ben chayim. Rabbi Lezer says that this advice will not work because Hareza Eved, he's a Eved on one hand and he's a Mamzer on the other hand. So it doesn't help. Says the Avni Miluim. Says the way I understand the Avni Miluim is that, as we often discuss in our Shiurim, a Eved Kanani, a Shivcha Kananis, to a degree is considered Jewish. And since to a degree they're considered Jewish, the fact that they are Mamzerim will not, because they're Jewish, the fact that they're Mamzerim doesn't go away by them being an Eved or a Shivcha. Ibailhu. So ask the Gemara, Rav Tarfon gave this advice. L'chatchila kamar, did he mean that this is something that should be done? Or the Eved Kamar, did he mean that if it was done? And the way that we're trying to explain the Gemara is because the Torah Kedoshah says, V'lo Yikadosh B'Yisrael. And what that comes to teach us is that a Yisrael is not supposed to marry a Mamzer. And the Gemara's question is, was that rule stated also to Mamzerim? That there's no reason why a Mamzer is a full-fledged Jew. If a Mamzer is a full-fledged Jew, just like any Jew may not marry Shivcha Kananis, that halacha applies to a Mamzer as well. Or do we say that only a regular Jew may not marry a Shivcha, but a Mamzer who has this deficiency anyway may marry a Mamzer? So, as we're going to learn, the maskon of the Gemara is that it's l'chatchila. L'chatchila, a Mamzer is allowed to marry a Shivcha. So all the Rishonim ask that although a Mamzer has this terrible deficiency, but he's a full-fledged Jew. If he's a full-fledged Jew, why doesn't the law of Lo Yekadesh apply to him as well? So Rabbeinu Tam says, since the Torah does not say explicitly the words Lo Tikach Shivcha, if the Torah told us explicitly Lo Tikach Shivcha, there's nothing we could do to solve that issue. The Torah says, Lo Yekadesh. Since the Torah says it in this sort of ambiguous fashion, what the Torah is telling us, says the Rabbeinu Tam, that this halacha doesn't apply to Mamzerim. The Rambam says that because we want to solve the problem with his children, that overrides the lav of Lo Yekadesh. Rashi, that's the way we learned, seems to take a much simpler approach. The Lo Yekadosh is only said to full-fledged Jews. There's halacha to regular Jews. It wasn't said to Mamzerim. The Daf Gemina between these different pshatim suggests the Beis Shmuel is, according to the Rambam, we only did it on behalf of the child of the Mamzer. And that would be the halacha. Therefore, a mamzer would be allowed to marry a shivcha because we want him to be able to have regular Jewish children because he has the obligation to fulfill the mitzvah pur revu. A mamzeris who doesn't have the obligation of marrying pur revu, and moreover, even if she did, her marrying a Eved Kanani will not solve the problem, according to the Rambam, would not be allowed to marry an Eved Kanani. According to the other Pshatim that say that this halacha wasn't said to a mamzer, then the halacha would be that even a mamzeres would be allowed to marry an Eved Kanani. The Shah HaMelech quotes the Rashba, the Ritva, and the Ran that say that this halacha is only by a Vadei mamzer. A Sofik mamzer is not allowed to marry a Shivcha. And again, the Ratvaz says that this is really connected to the question that we just discussed. Why is the halacha of Lo Yeh Kaddish not apply to mamzer? According to the Rambam that says that we're concerned about the child, so then the halacha ought to apply to Sofik mamzer. However, according to the reasons that we said that the Rishonim say that this halacha wasn't said to mamzerim, maybe it wasn't said only to mamzerim, but it was said, but the lav of lo yeh kaddish, but it was said to Sofik mamzerim. Toshma, so the Gemara is still in the middle of this question. The mamzer marrying a shivcha, violating the lav of lo yeh kaddish, is that something that we tell him to do, or is it only b'di'evid because of the lav of lo yeh kaddish? Toshma says the Gemara, let's learn a brisa. Amloyer of Tarfin, the Chacham said to Rav Tarfin, based on the advice you gave us in the Mishnah, Taharta has a Zecharim. You've made the Zecharim that will be born five, like Taharta and the Kavis. And they assumed that, what does that mean? That a mamzer, a male mamzer, could go to a place where nobody will know him and marry a Shivcha. But women who are mamzeros can't marry an Eved because they normally don't go far away. Says the Gemara, Vi Amrit L'chatchil Kamar, if you're saying that this is something that we're allowed to do, so ask the Gemara, Mamzeres Namitis of Levda, why don't we say to the Mamzeres that she could go marry an Eved? Answers the Gemara, Eved Ein L'chayis, as we just explained a moment ago. We, a Mamzeres, marrying an Eved, Kanani, won't help us any. Because why wouldn't it help us any? Because we follow the mother, and the mother is a mamzeris. I say follow the father. If the father's ever Kanani, then the child doesn't follow the father, the child follows the mother. Toshma says the Gemara, there was an episode, there was a person that was a guest in the home of Rav Smiloy, who was a mamzer, and Rav Smiloy told him, if I would have known you, if I would have known you before you married a woman, I could have given you a good advice. I would have told you that you should go marry a Shivcha Kananis, and then we'll free the Shivcha Kananis, we'll free the child, and he won't be an Avid. If we'll say Reb Tarfin's advice was something that we could follow, we could follow Chatchila Shaper. Eliyavid, b'di'evid, if we're going to say that this is only advice that we give b'di'evid, how could Rav Smiloy said, I would have given you advice that could have helped you? And as the Rishonim point out, obviously, what Rav Smiloy agreed with Rav Tarfin of our Mishnah and not with Rav Elez of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, no, that's not necessarily what Rav Smiloy meant. Rav Smiloy meant to give him, I would have given you the following advice. The matzav leitz, I would have advised you, omle zil genoiv, go steal, and like that is daven b'eved ivri, you'll be sold as an eved ivri. And the halacha is that if you're sold as an eved ivri, as we've learned extensively earlier in our masechta, that a daughter of Yitin le'isha, his owner could give him an eved shifcha kananis, and now you're married a shifcha kananis. And once you marry the Shivcha Kananis, then your child can become a full-fledged Jew. So, of course, all the Rishonim ask, how could the Gemara suggest to give him advice to go steal, and like that, you'll have a way of clearing your mamzeris? You're not allowed to give somebody an etzer to steal. Says the Tosfos Rid, a very bechiddush. Tosfos Rid said his advice would have been, go steal, and after you steal, you'll give back. And it seems that Tosfos Rid is saying that if you're stealing with the intention to give back, that's not called stealing. The Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says that to steal, even if your intention is to pay back, is still usur. So that's why I saw a different pshat that Rav Asher Weishlita suggests, that even though normally ein oimer l'adam chatei, we don't tell a person to do an aveira in order to do a mitzvah, here, when it's a mitzvah, however, when it's a mitzvah rabbah, when it's a very important mitzvah, then we may give somebody this kind of a advice. And here, he says, this mamzer, as we've been learning throughout our shir, is in a very bad place. Since he's a very bad place, the halacha is that he had no choice. He has no choice but to steal, of course, pay back, and be able to get himself not to be a mamzer anymore. The Ritva says, from here we see that somebody who sells himself as an Eved Ivri may not be given a Shivcha Kananis. Because if somebody who sells himself may be given a Shivcha Kananis, then there would be no reason or right to sell, to steal, and like that become an Eved Ivri. Just sell yourself as, just sell yourself. So it must be that only Eved Ivri that can marry Shivcha Kananis, a subject that we discussed earlier in our Masechta, is only the one that was stole and was sold. So the Taz asks a question that we know, we also learned earlier in our Masechta, that if somebody, the only time a owner could give a Shivcha Kananis to an Eved Ivri is if that Eved Ivri already has a wife and children. But if he doesn't have a wife and children, because we're concerned, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, that he may become attached to the Shivcha Kananis. This situation is not such a situation. Obviously, this Mamz is not married. So if the Mamz is not married, asked the Taz, what is the Gemara saying? That he advised him, I would have told you become an Ivri and then you'll get a Shivcha Kananis. He couldn't have gotten a Shivcha Kananis because he's not married. And a person who's not married, the owner doesn't give him a Shivcha Kananis. From here, says the Taz, and he says it's a Ritva. The halacha that we learned earlier in the Masechta, that if the Eved Ivri doesn't have a family, he doesn't marry Shivcha Kananis, is not to be understood. He can't marry Shivcha Kananis. Rather, explains the Ritva, the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. If the Eved Ivri already has a family, then the owner could force him to marry Shivcha Kananis. If he doesn't have a family, the owner can't force him to marry Shivcha Kananis, but if he is agreeable to marrying Shivcha Kananis, then he may marry Shivcha Kananis. And that's what we're going to understand the Gemara here, that go become a Eved Ivri and agree to marry Shivcha Kananis. But ask the Gemara, Ubishneider of Samloi, in the time of Samloi, Eved Ivri Mihava, was the parish of Eved Ivri? We learned in Masechta Erechin, Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, Ein Eved Ivri Noig, El Bezman Sheyovel Noig. The only time the parish of Eved Ivri is applicable is when there's a Yovel. Now, there's no Yovel. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Beis Yisrael. What is Pshat, Ein Eved Ivri Noig, El Bezman Sheyovel Noig? He explains, Yovel, we know, represents a time when Klal Yisrael will be free. Avdus obviously represents a time that Klal Yisrael is suffering. And what the Gemara means to say, Ein Eved Ivri Noyig, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't put pressure on Klal Yisrael, doesn't put Avdus on Klal Yisrael, El Bezman Sheyovel Noyig, only in a time when Klal Yisrael have the ability to get out of the Tzaris. But if Klal Yisrael don't have the ability to get out of Tzaris, then at that time there's no din of Eved Ivri. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't put that much pressure on them. Elav Shmamina, it must be that wasn't the advice of Shmuel meant to give. The advice of Shmuel meant to give was the advice that Rav Tarfin gave in our Mishnah. The advice that he gave in our Mishnah was that he should marry a Shivcha Kananis, And obviously what Rav Samloi was teaching us, as Rav Tarfin was teaching us, Elav Shema Mina, Rav Tarfin Chathil Kama Shema Mina. I saw another teretz to the question of the Taz, that how could he marry Shivka Kananis? So they give a different answer, the Sefer Panina Meshulchan Gevoya. Why are we concerned that an everybody that doesn't have a family should not marry Shivka Kananis? As I said earlier, they were concerned that he's going to become attached to that Shivka Kananis. But when we're speaking about a person who can't marry anyone else anyway, because as we're saying, we're speaking about a mamzer, so there, all these considerations about getting attached or not getting attached don't apply. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Halach Rav Tarfin, the halach is, like Rav Tarfin, that a mamzer should marry a Shivka Kananis, and then the owner should, and there'll be a child, the owner should free that child, and that child will be a regular Yisrael. Rav Elazar, we learned in the Mishnah, disagrees. Hareza Eva Mamzer, we haven't accomplished much. Amar Rav Elazar, my Tam de Rav Elazar. Why does Rav Elazar not agree with Rav Tarfin? Dama Krop, so he says, because the Pasuk says, by the Mamzer, Gam Dar Asir La Yovel Loi B'Kol Hashem. And the words Yovel Loi come to teach us that Holach Acha P'suloi, that this defect of being a Mamzer remains, this defect of a Mamzer remains under all circumstances. Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan who disagree, Hahu, they explain, it's talking about Yisrael Shanos Mamzeris. It's talking about a regular Yisrael that married a Mamzeris. The Sakatat Chamina, we would think that a Mamzer is identified as a Mamzer based on his father status, because the Pasuk says, L'mishpachayislam beis avoysim ksiv. Also, that's why the Pasuk says, Lo yova loy va'afge, and says that only in a case where both parents are not mamzerim is the child a mamzer. But if one of the parents is a mamzer, even if it's the mother, then that child will be considered a mamzer. Rebbe Lezer says the Gemara, how does Rebbe Lezer say that it doesn't make a difference the mother or the father? Says the Gemara, Rebbe Lezer, lav afagav diksiv l'mishpachosam l'beis avoysam, even though the Torah says l'mishpachosam l'beis avoysam, that we always follow the father's yichus, also loy v'afge. When it comes to mamzer, the Torah says we don't just look at the father. Hachanami, afagav diksiv ishiva yaleh tila d'neo, even though the Torah says that the child of a shivcha kananis is considered a shivcha kananis, a eved kanani, also loy v'afge, the loy comes to teach us that if the father is a mamzer, even though the mother is a shivcha kananis, the child will still be a mamzer. The Rabbanan say that you can't compare the vlad of a shivcha to the vlad of Yisraelis. Indeed, the child of a Yisraelis, if the father is a mamzer or the mother is a mamzer, that child will be a mamzer. But the child of a shivcha kananis, says the Gemara, kol vlad b'mei shivcha kananis, any child in the womb of a shivcha kananis, says the Gemara, kvlad b'mei dami. It's like since there's absolutely no yichus, so it's like the child of an animal, and of course not the child of an animal, the halachic status of the child of an animal, and such a child therefore is not considered of any yichus, certainly not the yichus of Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, tells us, Asar Yichson Ola Mibavel. When Ezra came to Yisrael, 10 statuses of Yichus came along with him. Kahanim Leviv Israeli, Chaloli, those are children who were born to Kahanim, but the Kayin, his father, the Kayin, married a woman whom he wasn't supposed to marry. The child is a Chalol. Gerim Magerim, Charurim are Avadim that were freed. Avadim Kananim that were freed, Mamzerim, as we just discussed. Nesini, as we have discussed so many times in our Masechta, are the people with the Gevoinim, who were from the 7 Umais that lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they, to whom the Torah says we have to eradicate them, Loisachai Kon Neshama. And what happened was they misled Yeshua and told Yeshua that they really were from a faraway country. When Yeshua heard this, he and he's made them gerim, and he couldn't then undo what he did. But what he said was, you can no longer be, he made them water carriers. And then, as we often learn in our Masechta, they showed that they did not have the behavior traits of Klal Yisrael. They did not have Rachmanis on Shaul and his family. And part of being a Jew is that we are Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim. So David HaMelech extended that Isser, and therefore the halacha is the one may not marry in the Sinim. There is a machloikis rishonim. If the Isser to marry in the Sinim is an Isser deraisa, and others say that the Isser to marry, and others say that the Isser Nesinim is an Isser derabbanan. The Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva say that the Isser to marry in the Sinim is an Isser deraisa. The Rambam's opinion is that it's an Isser derabbanan. Shtuki vasufi, the Mishnah will in a moment explain. Of course, many Rishonim ask, we've been spending so much time, even in this year, speaking about Avodim, so why doesn't the Mishnah mention that one of the categories of people that came to Eretz Yisrael were Avodim? So the Tosfos Rid says that Mishnah only speaks about people who are, we're learning Masechta Kedushin, people who are in the parasha of Kedushin. But as we've learned, Avodim are not in the parasha of Kedushin. Tosfos Rosh, very much in line what we just learned in the previous parak, and it's important to say, Hadron L'Chaimer, Hadron L'Chaimer, Hadron L'Chaimer, says that we learned at the end of the previous parak that a Shivcha doesn't have Yichus. We're only speaking about people who have some level of Yichus. The Ramban says that since our Mishnah mentions Charuri, which we explained means people who, Avodim, who were freed, so obviously Avodim are mentioned. The Rishas says that Avodim were well known. As we're going to be spending time in our Mishnah and our Perek, that a very important part of why Ezra did what he did was to identify everyone's yichus and to make sure that people who weren't allowed to marry each other don't marry each other. Everybody knew who the Avodim were. And since everybody knew who the Avodim were, then therefore there was no concern that anybody would marry Avodim. Another pshat that I saw is the Pnei Yeshua suggests that the Avodim cannot be freed, and the Avodim, therefore, did not leave Bavel. They realized that there's no point in coming to Eretz Yisrael. Kahana Levi Yisraelim, Matarim Lovers of Bezeh, Kahana Levi Yisraelim may intermarry. Yisraeli Chaloli Geri V'Charuri, Matarim Lovers of Bezeh, they all may intermarry. Geri V'Charuri, Mamzeri Nemesini Shtuki V'Sufi, Kula Matarim Lovers of Bezeh, they may also intermarry. And Rav Tarfon says that, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, that this rule doesn't apply only to Charuri. Avodim also may marry Mamzerim, as we just learned. Ve'el and Shtuki explains the Mishnah who is a Shtuki. Kol Shumakas Imai, a person who knows who his mother is, Ve'en Makas Aviv, but doesn't know who his father is. His mother had an adulterous relationship, and therefore when this child calls her his mother's husband, father, his mother says, Shtuki, be quiet, this is not your father. A Sufi is Koshen Esef Manashuk, a child that was picked up from the street, Vein Amakar, and he can't identify Loyas Aviv V'loy Es Ima, he doesn't know who his parents are. Avashol HaYukar L'Shtuki, somebody who doesn't know who his father is, he call him Beduki. We have to try to check out who is the father and find out what his status is. So we learned in the Mishnah, Sari Yuchsin Olam Abovel, asking Mamai the Tari Olam Abovel, why is the focus that they came out of Bavel? Nisni Yichol Kol Eretz Yisrael, as the Pnei Yeshua explains the Gemara's question. The point of our Mishnah is to teach us who were the Yuchsin in Eretz Yisrael. So the purpose of our Mishnah is to teach us who were the Yuchsin in Eretz Yisrael. Why are we speaking about who left Bavel? Answers the Gemara, Milsak Gavurcha Kamishlan. The Mishnah wants to teach us another halacha that Eretz Yisrael is Gavoy Mikol Arotzes. Kritanya, The pasuk says, "V'kamta v'alisa l'mokam mashivcha Hashem alakecha." Lamecha beis hamikdash gvoi mikol etz Yisrael. The beis hamikdash is higher than all of etz Yisrael, and etz Yisrael gvoi mikol arotzes. So the Chasam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer explain that the world is round, and since the world is round, it's difficult to say that any one place is higher than another place. And therefore, they explain when the Gemara says etz Yisrael gvoi mikol arotzes, it means that Eretz Yisrael is the most significant place than everywhere else. Why is it more important? Why is it the most significant place? So he explains, because the entire world was Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, the Makom HaMikdash, were all created first, and from them emanated the rest of the world. And that makes Eretz Yisrael Gevoy Mikol HaRotzes. The Ritvaz goes on to say that actually, if we pay attention, we'll see that Eretz Yisrael, and especially Yerushalayim, is not the tallest spot. So the Ritvaz, because of this question, says that what happened was the Goyim did not want Eretz Yisrael to be in such a significantly high place. And so they built up the rest of Eretz Yisrael. They built up the rest of Eretz Yisrael so that Yerushalayim, the Beit HaMikdash, should not be higher. Bishlama, says the Gemara, Beis HaMikdash Goyim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. When we say that the Beis HaMikdash is taller, That's what the pasuk says. Divrei Revis b'sherecha, that if there's a dispute, we go to the Sanhedrin that sits in the Beis HaMikdash, v'kamta alisa. But ask the Gemara, Eretz Yisrael gvoi mikol karotzos menolon, how do we know that Yisrael is taller than everywhere else? Answers the Gemara, d'ksiv, because the pasuk says regarding Mashiach that's coming b'mher b'yameinu, l'chein hine yom aboim num Hashem, we will no longer speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that took Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Kiyim, at that point, the primary nes that will be focused on will be Chai Hashem, Kiyim Chai Hashem HaShe'el V'Sha'evis Bnei Yisrael Me'eret Tzofa Mikol HaRotzos Asher Dachtim Sham. So again, it says that from all other places, we will be brought up Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara again, my area, the Tani Olam Abavel, Nisni Ol Eretz Yisrael. So again, the focus is on Eretz Yisrael and not on Bavel. Answers the Gemara, Mesaile L'Rabbi Elazar. This point supports what Rabbi Elazar is here to teach us. Damar Rabbi Elazar Le'Ola Ezra Mi Bavel. Ezra did not leave Bavel Acha Sa Sol Snakia until it made Bavel like fine flour. It took away all of the dispure impurities of Yichus from Bavel and brought them all to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rashi explains the Gemara's question is, if the focus is Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara should have just said, oh, Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos Rashi says, why are we so busy with Bavel? We should be busy with Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, because we want to take out any Yichus issues from Bavel. Why is that? So one answer is, because in Eretz Yisrael we had the Sanhedrin. So since we have the Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, they could check and make sure everybody's Yichus. In Bavel, we didn't have that problem. Another pshat that I saw is that we can't prevent anybody from living in Eretz Yisrael. Since we cannot prevent anybody from living in Eretz Yisrael, there are going to be people of impure Yichus in Eretz Yisrael. Since they're going to be people of impure Yichus in Eretz Yisrael, once we're going to have them anyway, we might as well bring all of them to Eretz Yisrael. Itma, Bayam Olam Aleim Tanan, that they came up on their own free will. Rava Amma Helam Tanan, that they were forced to come up. It says the Gemara, the Kamifli, the Machloikis of Abai and Rava, is about what Rabbi Elazar said. The Amr Rabbi Elazar, Loyal Ezra in Bavel, Acha Osik Solos Nakia. Ezra did not leave Bavel until he cleared away anybody of impure Yichus. Abai Leslie Rabbi Elazar. Abai doesn't agree with Rabbi Elazar, and he doesn't say that Elazar did that, that Ezra had a project to do that. Rava holds like Rabbi Elazar, that he deliberately wanted to make sure that all the impure people will be taken out. So I saw another pshat from the Iyun Yaakov. Why did Ezra do this? Because Eretz Yisrael, explains the Iyun Yaakov, the Shechin is going to be in Eretz Yisrael no matter what. So since the Shechin is going to be in Eretz Yisrael no matter what, Eretz Yisrael could afford to have people of impure yichus. But when we speak about Bavel, Bavel will not have that proper yichus. And since Bavel will not have that proper yichus, the Shechina, the only way that it can have the Shechina is if you remove any impure people with impure yichus. Everybody agrees that Rabbi Elazar cleared out Bavel before he left. The machloek sabai and Rava is a mass of a frusher of Shinu. He separated all the people of the pure, of the weak yichus, and then menafshayu sliku. Then they afterwards they left on their own. Omar and Rava's opinion is bal kurchayev sekinu. He forcibly brought them to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Mandama, according to Abai's opinion, Olu, that they went at Yisrael on their own free will. Hanadam Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, Kala Rotis Isla Yisrael. We could understand that everybody living in other countries other than Yisrael don't have the pure yichas like at Yisrael. But Yisrael Isla Bavo, because Bavo, they took out the people who were pure, they were all in Eretz Yisrael. Elamandam Ahelam, but if according to Rava's pshat, that they brought them to Eretz Yisrael, so when Ezra brought them, didn't he designate who is of impure yichus? So even Eretz Yisrael, we'll know who is pure and who is impure. Answers the Gemara, v'nad yod l'adara, yes. If Ezra brought them, and Ezra labeled everybody who came up to Yisrael, so people who were impure were labeled. But that only works for that generation. But for future generations, as more impure people got mixed into Yisrael, it became impossible to make that identification. And that's why, since we had people of impure yichus in Yisrael, in future generations, it was impossible to make that identification. Says the Marbishlam Lamandam, according to Abaya, that Olu, that the people of the pure, impure Yichus came up on their own. Hainik Siv, Vekbetsam Alanar Baal Achva, Venach Nisham Shloishim Yoimim, Vavina Ba'am Bekahanim Ibnei Levi Lemetzasi Sham. I couldn't know, Ezra found that there were no Levi. How did Ezra find that there were no Levium? Because till now, Ezra didn't know exactly who came, because whoever came, came on his own. But there was no way of knowing until he got to Yisrael. Elam and Amahelam, that Ezra was in charge of bringing up people to Yisrael, so he knew what he brought. So how did he only discover this later? For Mrs. Zahiri, answers the Gemara, Ned is Ibsulim. Ezra knew all of the people with the difficult yichus. Beloy, Biksherim, Layiz, the people of pure yichus, that wasn't his focus, and he didn't realize until later that there were such people. So the Rishon Rashi asks, our Mishnah just taught us that amongst those that came to Yisrael were Kahani Leviyim Yisraeli. So how can we see there were no Leviyim that came up with him? So Rashi answers that the Leviyim, when they were asked to play musical instruments for Nebuchadnezzar, and did not want to do so, so they cut off their thumbs. So they were people who were unable to be Leviim, which opens up in the Rishonim a very big discussion, because there's a machlokes throughout Shas if ikashira bepeh or ikashira bekeli. What is the primary way the Leviim did their shira? Was it with their instruments or with their mouths? So if we say it was Bekeli, so he didn't find any Levim that could play instrument. But if we say Ikashir Bepeh, so even if the thumbs are cut off, they could still sing. So the Rishonim explained that even though they could sing and not play, certainly Ezra wanted to have musicians, and he didn't find any Levim who could play musicians. The Meiri has a whole different approach to this Gemara. The Miri's approach was that indeed, as the pasuk we just learned teaches us, that when Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael, he was unable to find Leviim. But he didn't want to be left without Leviim. So he called Leviim from Bavel to come to Eretz Yisrael. So when the Mishnah says that Leviim came to Eretz Yisrael, that is correct. Ultimately, there were Leviim in Eretz Yisrael because Ezra called for them. Al-Gemara means when he first came, there were no Leviim. Kana Leviim Yisraelim. So Mishnah said, Kana Leviim Yisraelim came with Ezra. Asking Rav Nolan the Sliko, how do we know that that was the case? The Ksiv, Yeshiva Kana Leviim and Am HaShoyrim, VaShoyrim, VaNasinim, Bareim, V'Kol Yisrael Melayim. So this pasuk clearly speaks about kind of Levim and Yisraelim. Chaloli Geir v'Charuri were amongst those that came to Yisrael. Ask the Gemara Chaloli Menolon. How do we know we're Chalolim? Says the Gemara Tanya Rabbi Yosef Megdoil Chazaka. The power of Chazaka is very great that we could rely on a Chazaka. Shnema Umnei Akan b'nei Chevya b'nei Akoitz b'nei Berzilai Ashlokach b'nois Berzilai Galodi Isha. They wanted a document that could identify that they're Kohanim. They were unable to produce that. They were disqualified from the Kuna. The reason the Yerushalmi explains he was called Hatushasta is because he was the person that was the person who served the beverages to the king. And they allow him, and he had to taste the beverage before he served to the king to make sure that it wasn't poisoned. And they allowed him to drink, Rashi explains, wine, yayin shalakum. That's what Rashi says. So many Rishonim point out, it seems that already at that time, which is earlier in the Gemara, obviously, there was already an Isser to drink Yayin Shel Akum. He got a special heter. The Ratvaz says that at that point, there was no problem for him to drink wine. Because at that point, there was only Yayin Nesach, which is Yayin that was used for Avodah Zarah. And he says that the Melech Pras, says the Ratvaz, did not worship Avodah Zarah. The Isser of Stam Yayin wasn't yet in effect. There was a Yud Ches Dover. There was a Gzeirat Rabbanon not to drink wine of Akum. And that Yud Ches Dover wasn't in place yet. And the question is, that Ratvaz discusses there, that even though Nechemya Mechakalia Hatushasa was given the right to drink, not serve non-kosher wine, says the Ratvaz that a Jewish waiter, a person who's Jewish, should not be allowed, he says, to serve non-kosher wine, even in a non-Jewish restaurant. It was a special heter for Hatushasah. They may not eat from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Adamoid Kohen Urim V'tumim, until the Kohen stands with the Urim V'tumim, and is able to identify as them as real Kahanim. And the Rambam indeed says, only when Mashiach comes, B'meher B'yameinu, and will be able to identify who are true Kahanim, then they will have the full-fledged rule of Kahanim. Which, of course, I saw the Birka Yosef discusses, isn't there a rule that we don't rely on halachic status based on the Vua? So he says that this isn't a halachic status. This is a metzias. Are you or are you not a kohen? And for that we can rely on Durim V'tumim. V'amalhem, harayatem v'chaskaskem. Whatever your status was in Bavel, b'ma ha'yisem oichlem b'goyla, whatever you ate in Bavel, af in Eretz Yisrael nami yukri kachay gvol. That means when Klal Yisrael were in Bavel, even though there's no din of Trumas and Maisris in Bavel, they instituted Trumas and Maisris in Bavel so that they should keep that halacha going. And he says that you continue eating in Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Lamanda Omer, But according to the man, Damer Masech Tiksub, Staf Chof Dalar Mabey, that teaches us, Mal Matruma Liyachsin, if somebody eats Truma, that to us is a proof that he's a full-fledged Kayin. How will we allow them to eat Truma? Hani Dachal Truma, why allowing them to eat Truma? Asil Askuna, want we to be concerned that they're going to be counted as real Kohanim? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam Dereiches Kasayu. Since they were only allowed to eat Truma, and other Kohanim were allowed to eat Kachim, so that was a proof to everyone that they're not full-fledged Kohanim, and therefore the concern that they're eating Truma will make us assume that the Kohanim is not there. So ask the Gemara, so what was meant? Gedoy l'chazaka. And says the Gemara, the Mikara, when they were in Chutz Laaretz, they only ate Betrumah Drabbanan, because as we said, the entire rule of Truma in Chutz Laaretz is only Drabbanan. The Psoif, when they came to Etzisrael, Achal Betrumah Daraisa, they were allowed to eat Truma Daraisa, but they were not allowed to eat Kachim. Vibay Samuel Oilam Hashtan Namib Truma Drabbanan Achal. They only ate Truma Drabbanan. But Daraisa, they weren't allowed to eat the raisa. Kimaskinon, and when do we allow a person because he's eating truma to be considered a full-fledged kayin? That's only when he eats truma de raisa. But if he's only eating truma de rabbanon, then there's no concern. The question is, what is truma de raisa? So many Rishonim say that only dogon and tirosh, wheat, oil, olives and grapes are Truma Daraisa. That's the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos. The Ramban says that even olives and grapes are not Truma Daraisa. Only Truma Daraisa is when it's made into wine, into oil. If the olives are not made into oil and the grapes are not made into wine, then not Truma Daraisa. The Rambam's opinion is that all Zion Minim, Shinishtabuk Ben Atzisrael, have Truma Deraisa. But ask the Gemara, if we're saying that all they were allowed to do was eat Truma Derabbanon, so what is meant G'day L'Chazaka? Says the Gemara, what the Gemara meant to say was like this. The Mikara originally, Leklam Migzim Shum Truma Deraisa. There's no reason to say, well, if they're going to be allowed to eat Truma Derabbanon, they may come to eat Truma Deraisa. Because in Bavel, there is no Truma Deraisa. L'Psoif. But now that they're in Etzisrael, Af Agav Deikla Migzer, and there is Truma Daraisa available, maybe we should make a gzera that if we're going to allow them to eat Truma Daraisa, they may Truma Derabbanon, Mishum Truma Daraisa, they may come to eat Truma Daraisa. Says the Gemara, still because of Gedoy L'Chazaka, but Derabbanon Ochol, they were allowed to eat the Rabbanon Diga Truma, but Truma Daraisa Loi Ochol, but they were not allowed to eat is Truma the Rabbanon. And Ramosh explains, that's what Gedoy L'Chazaka means. That even though there's a reason not to allow them to eat this, we still allow them to continue. And the Maret says that when we speak about Kohanim Bezman Hazeh, so the Kohanim don't have Yichus documentation to show that the true Kohanim. Everything that we do is based on chazaka. Everything that they're allowed to do is based on chazaka as well, and that's why we treat them as kohanim for a pidyon haben and for other halachas based truly just on chazaka. On the other hand, the Gemara says that a bas yisrael should not marry a kohen, but I saw that the poskim say that bezman hazeh we're not Makbid, we're not careful not to allow a Bas Yisrael to marry a Kohen, because since the Kohanim, as we just said, Bezman Hazeh, are only Kohanim Chazaka, they're not full-fledged Kohanim, that halacha doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara, so doesn't that seem to teach us, they may not eat kachim kachim. How come the nechel? They can even eat truma deraisa. Says mar hakama. Loi the mikri kodesh. No, what the pasuk means to say is that they may not eat kodesh. For loi midi the mikri kachim, not something to eat kachim. What does that mean? Loy mida de mikra kodesh. They may not eat truma de raisa, which the pasuk calls kodesh, as the pasuk says regarding truma. The ksiva chalzal lo yoichel kodesh. Loy mida de mikra kachim. Nor may they eat anything which is kachim, which is the part of the kabbonis, damakra. The pasuk says ubas koyin kisil zoy hibet truma sa kachim lo yoichel. Amamar. What does that mean? Murmana kachim, the part of the kabbonis lo yoichel, she no longer may eat because she's not considered a part of the family of Kahuna anymore.